Confessions of a Trainwreck. 30, flirty, and surviving.
It's easy to speak out of the way I live, but it's a 24-carat dream. No supermodel in my dirty jeans, but in my 24-inch heels.
Commandment number 188. Thou shalt remember to always make time for the things that you love, like drinking margaritas. Despite being arguably the most used word in my vocabulary, there aren't many things in life I would confidently say I slay. Taxes, nope. Cooking, definitely not. Drinking margaritas, tick. In my not so humble opinion, no matter the question, margaritas are the answer. And I'm guessing that by this point in my life, if I cut myself, I would probably bleed tequila. Look, I love margaritas so much, I even got one tattooed on my arm. Sorry, Mum. The irony of the situation is that the only other thing in life that I enjoy quite as much as a spicy margarita is a spicy workout. And today, contrary to popular opinion, I'm going to tell you how the two can comfortably coexist. To prove it, I've enlisted the help of one of my best friends and favourite humans in the whole world, Nicola Costello. I met Nicola, I think, about 5 years ago when I signed up to her F45, and the rest, as they say, is history. Nicola is a personal trainer, a gym owner, and a professional boxer, and above all else, a bloody good time. I can confidently say that she has single-handedly had the most positive effect on my mindset around health, and those long-time listeners would know that that's something I've struggled with for the better part of my adult life. So to help show you how you can have your margarita and drink it too, please welcome Nicola to the show. Full disclaimer before we start, we are not dietitians, and this episode should not replace any dietary advice from your own qualified professional. Cheers, Joel!
Cheers! Why did I say that's okay?
That's actually delicious. Did you have a sip?
Yeah, I did. It was really good.
It's a peach Bellini flavored amino energy drink.
I didn't know if I was meant to wait.
No.
Like if to drink it, but I was drinking it earlier when you were explaining.
That's fine. Okay, something. So you've already had the taste. Yep. Okay, that's fine. Welcome, Nicola Dole, to the podcast.
I am so excited to be involved.
I cannot believe it's taken me this long to get you on because I feel like I've known you the whole time I've had this podcast. Like, I'm pretty sure I was a member at the gym when I started this podcast, but maybe we just weren't friends at the start.
No, we were friends. You just didn't know. But the thing is that what gets me is you keep bringing people on, right? And I'm like, does this motherfucker know how big of a deal I am? I'm like, you need my chat on here.
Yeah. No, and every time I bring guests on and don't tell you that they're coming on, like Angie Kent, you lost your shit.
Oh, man, I would have definitely done that podcast. And that person.
Well, not too late because she lives in Brisbane. So just to set the scene a little bit, and this is probably the nicest we will ever be to each other, ever. So I'm glad this is going on a record.
I wish Britt was here.
You have been present for 3 very important decisions in my life. The first one, to eat carbs and not just be obsessed with cardio but also weights. Mm-hmm. Game changer. 2, to actually go to the party where I met my boyfriend Damon.
Mm-hmm.
I remember messaging you before that party, like having a mental breakdown, being like, I'm not coming. And you were like, get the sand out of your vagina and get to the party, man.
How good did that turn out?
Wild night. And 3, to get my dog Twinkie, which was the biggest impulse purchase I've ever made, but also the best.
If I can offer anything as a friend, it's peer pressure to eat carbs and go out and get a dog. That's like,
literally.
If anybody needs any of those things, I am the person to fill that gap, 100%.
That is literally you in a nutshell. Yeah. So the reason I wanted to get you onto the podcast today is because you have a really good no bullshit approach to health, and you've had such a positive impact on my mindset and attitude.
Oh my God, we are being nice.
I know. It's going to end soon, don't worry. As well as everybody else who goes to the gym. So FYI, if I didn't say it in the intro, Nicola owns 3 F45s. If you want to come work out with us at Hamilton, Brisbane, babe, slide into my DMs. And you're also a professional athlete.
Yeah.
What's your actual title now? Australian flyweight champion.
So yeah, I'm the number one female flyweight in the country. Yeah. Holy good.
Shit.
And New Zealand as well, but that's because there are no others in New Zealand. But I'll claim it.
But you're from New Zealand, so babe, yes. You can fly that flag too. Yep. Also, if you follow me on Instagram, you definitely know Nicola because she's on my feed quite a lot because we spent a lot of time together. She's Banksy's mother. And one time when I posted a photo of us on Instagram, I got a slew of messages telling me congratulations on my coming out because people thought.
She captioned it, "I kissed a girl and I liked it." I'm like, I can see where the confusion came from.
Anyway,
I've never had so many like friend requests as I did from then. I'm like, people love that you're gay, finally.
I'm so glad to know that I have such a positive community out there that you know, I ever was to dump Damon, although sometimes he does say that he looks like a lesbian. Also, my mum thinks that you and Damon are very similar, which you are. So
I'm like the better version of Damon.
I think I'm just dating the male you. So it works out for all of us. Anyway, so I have done some really stupid things in the past, diet and exercise, as I'm sure most women have. But since I've met you, it's really kind of changed and I don't really have beer foods now. I do less cardio, which has been such a light bulb moment for me. But I think that what you do really, really well, aside from drink margaritas and punch people, is
in a professional athlete type of way. Can we clarify that? I don't want people scared of me. I am a little bitch. I do not ever punch people outside of a ring.
So true. Ever. Like Nicola would literally not hurt a fly. She would cry if she saw a fly die. But you teach people how to create positive lifestyle changes. And I think that's been really evident in all of like the challenges that you coach through F45, through all those challenges, instead of that kind of like massive restrict mentality. So you're not like, you can't eat any chocolate, you can't drink any alcohol for the next 6 weeks because that's not maintainable. As soon as you start doing that again, you're going to gain everything you lost and it's not sustainable. So the biggest one I wanted to talk to you today about is alcohol, because ironically also the drunkest times I've had in my life, majority of the times you've been there for, and 99% of those times, those nights have involved margaritas.
Yes.
And like one of those times was actually at the gym. The gym was closed. There was a party going on there.
For a gym party.
Yeah, we weren't just...
That we just carried on, just you and I. No one else. It was a members party, but we happened to be the only people there. We really hung on to that.
And I think we drank a whole bottle of vodka. No. Just the two of us.
I think I ran very fast. I remember going to the bottle and coming back and be like, did everyone see how fast I ran? I ran so fast. I wish it'd been timed. I need the security footage because I swear to God, I broke like land speed records. You know when you're so drunk and you think you're a fast runner?
Yeah. And you were probably waddling.
Yeah, I imagine I wasn't.
The bottle shop's not even that close. Is that the bottle shop up Nichols?
No, it's the one opposite us. But can I say that I'm 29 years old and every time I've been in there, I get asked for ID and I remember it that day. And I'm like, I am covered head to toe literally in tattoos. And I'm like, what kind of 17-year-old is covered in tattoos? Who has the money for that?
It's so true. It is so true.
But it's nice.
And also several of those nights have involved margaritas, not just whole bottles of vodka and Pepsi Max, as that night may have had it. One particular time where we went down to Felons and you went to the bar and bought everybody a round of frozen margaritas. And as you were so proud of yourself bringing them back to the table, you dropped the entire tray of margaritas. I've got the videos. I'll post it on my Instagram story today.
I will never live this down. I will never live this margarita situation down. And I need everyone to understand that it was at Fallon's. I was already tipsy because I get drunk off a smell of alcohol.
Yeah.
And we were already well into this day. So I was walking over the, like, trying to make Fallon's sound like it's a rugged outback. Like, I was walking over the well-maintained grass.
The grassy knoll.
But it's not, like, straight concrete. And they serve the frozen margaritas in plastic margarita cups. So I had a tray of margaritas in, like, so they were top heavy, but not heavy enough glasses. And anyway, they ended everywhere. And it was when Fallon's was like packed to the brim. Like, there is not a chance that anybody in Brisbane didn't see this on somebody's story.
And several people around us actually made IRL comments about it as well.
Yeah. Yes. They
One did. Man in particular. So back on track. So I think a lot of people have a really all or nothing approach to health, but we know that if you're trying to be good, limiting yourself to like one wine a week or like a vodka lime soda is not realistic because let's be honest, that's disgusting. Like, I'm not going to choose a vodka lime and soda unless I'm
tracking my calories. Mm. And like, come on, one wine a week if you're going to a wedding or something, not realistic.
Not with Australian binge drinking culture. No.
Absolutely
well,
not.
I'm a realist on this.
And like, I'm sure that like, no disrespect to dietitians and stuff, but like obviously alcohol is not like super duper healthy for you. But firstly, how detrimental actually is alcohol to our health and physique?
Look, I would love to I would love to say not at all, but no, it's pretty bad. No, it's terrible, but there's nothing positive, I guess, is probably the better way to explain it. Like, drinking alcohol is not going to benefit, you know, your health or physique in terms of nutrition, but mentally and I think sustainably and stuff, it's definitely not necessary to cut it out completely.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
100%. So is it kind of like, you know how people talk about like soul food? So if they're like, nachos is not very nutritionally beneficial. Mm-hmm. It's just mostly like, you know, very high fat, very little like nutritional benefits. But if it's a soul food, find a way to incorporate it. Would we call alcohol kind of a soul food?
I definitely think, but I think more than anything, it's a friendship food, right? Like
100%.
And this is what gets me is that, you know, I'm so grateful that you do consider, you know, the way I approach nutrition and stuff valuable, because well, as lame as this sounds, I guess that I'm in the career I'm in to help people's lives, not for an 8-week challenge or anything, but the rest of their lives. And it is so hard in the fitness industry to watch people just miss out on life and miss out on happiness. And I'm not sitting here saying go get drunk every night or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, even if you're doing a challenge, okay, let's say it's a short-term thing, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. It's the way it is, it's short-term, but I don't want anyone losing their friends or like missing out on their sister's 30th or friend's wedding. And, you know, it's like you still want to live your life. You
100%.
Can't go out to lunch every day and get drunk every day and say you're on a challenge. But if you've got big life events, do it and incorporate it, because what's the point of not for 8 weeks and then maybe ending up with 1% better result but a 90% shitter like happiness level?
Oh, and it's so true. When I was 24, when I was at my absolute worst, like my rock bottom, I didn't drink alcohol. I didn't eat barely anything. I wouldn't even drink Diet Coke. Like it was so all consuming. And I used to say no to friends' birthdays. I lost a lot of friends at that time. Obviously they could see that I was going through something quite hectic, but that is no way to live at all. And I would not go back to that for the world.
It's definitely not a way to live. And it is though a way that a lot of us live a lot of people will live that way. And it's even difficult. Like I get like this, you know what I mean? Like there are times where, you know, you need to put, I guess it's weighing up, you know, things. And it's like, if you're super down on yourself, you've got low self-esteem and, you know, you want to be healthier, you might want to do a couple of weeks of saying no to social events. You might want to, that might be what you need, but living your life saying no to social events because you're afraid, or if there's any anxiety around events because of the effect of it on your nutrition or anything, that's a red flag. If you're somebody who's feeling an anxiety over it, like please, like look into ways to work through that, because you can have both. You can have reaching your goals and the other side of being able to, you know, maintain friendships and enjoy your life.
And it's so sad, like when you speak to your friends and stuff, you hear so often, I remember particularly when I used to live with a big house full of girls, we would, you know, get to Thursday and be like, oh my God, I'm just dreading this weekend. I've got like 3 parties on and this, I'm going to feel disgusting. You should be excited that you're getting 100%. Invited to these things and that you're going out to see your friends and that you're having these experiences, not the other way around.
I guess the thing is as well is that the people that once you break that barrier and the anxiety is gone, you won't feel terrible because you know you can go out and enjoy it without overdoing it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's important. Like it's, you know, you'll always see it with fitness competitors and, you know, disclaimer, I've done fitness competition, but it's like you're so, so restrictive for so long that afterwards you can't stop yourself from overdoing it and you go the opposite way. And it's like, the reality is there's people that train every day in a fitness they enjoy, that eat well and things they like, and look very similar to people that hop on stage because they, you know what I mean? There's not that restrict and overdo thing.
Yeah. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
It's a long-term thing. So when it comes to margaritas, how can we have our margaritas and drink them too, so to speak?
Look, all I can say is margaritas is not the greatest choice.
Oh my God, I'll never forget in the last challenge seminar you did when you said on the camera how many calories a margarita has in them. My heart snapped into a million pieces.
Yeah, I can ruin your life with that. But this is that thing of, okay, margaritas are not the lowest calorie drink. Okay, a cocktail is never going to be, but they are delicious. They make you funnier. And for how many great stories I have with my friends over margaritas, I would choose that any day of the week. Like, I would choose to go have an extra 500 calories, say, in a drinking session on margaritas, then restrict myself to vodka, lime soda, and not be as funny, and then probably have a worse headache. And you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I can go out. I guess it's that thing of like, and it's a bit different with me because I am trying to be like the best in the world at a sport. So I do have to be restrictive, but not in a negative way. But when it comes to, say, margaritas, if I'm not in camp, it's like, I'll have those, okay? And we might be 500 calories more than if I'd had a night out on vodka. But I'm going to have enjoyed my time. I will feel rested for having a wonderful lunch with my friends. So I'm probably going to burn an extra 1,000 calories in my workouts that week just by the fact that I'm not in a constant state of feeling restricted.
Yeah.
Whereas if you restrict yourself, then that whole week, it like... Yeah, if things like that start to consume you, like you're wondering about calories or you're thinking about food, that's that anxiety thing that shouldn't be there. And it will hinder you in other ways. So it will hinder your results. So sometimes just eat that. It's like constantly choosing the lower calorie versions of things. People do that. So, you know, we might choose a protein version of a Snickers rather than just a Snickers. And then we're looking for like, the lowest calorie versions of things, but then we're constantly focused on food. And to be honest, your results are going to be worse that way. Whereas if you just had the Snickers and then ate pretty well outside of that, you end up in the same spot with less fear.
Yeah, it's like that. I always see that. Is it like a meme or like a drawing or something on Instagram that always goes around being like, it's a diagram or something. And it's like when you have a craving for a cookie and you'll have some almonds and then some carrots and hummus and then some sultanas and then some grapes. And then you'll end up having a cookie anyway. Whereas if you just ate the cookie, you get rid of all that stuff.
It's also like, I always think about this. It's like ice cream, right? Like I love ice cream.
Oh, God,
you might be just having like a terrible, absolutely terrible day. I'm never going to tell people to eat ice cream for dinner. Eat protein, you know, veggies, carbs, like train, like eat for performance, right? Eat to feel good.
Yeah.
But there might be a day where you've got your fucking period, pissed off at your boyfriend, whatever it is, and you just want ice cream for dinner. Sometimes just have the ice cream because otherwise you just have dinner and then you have the ice cream as well. And it's like, to be honest, you just want the ice cream. Like sometimes, like it's okay.
100%. There have been many times where on a Friday night I've come home and opted to have a tub of like Halo Top or Fitlado instead of dinner because it just
but also
me
kind
more.
Of going back to, you know, always choosing the lower calorie versions. This motherfucker's like this motherfucker's sitting there trying to like agree with me. She's like, yeah, I'm so on board with this. And then she's like, yeah, like I have Halo Top. Like I was talking more about like a tub of
connoisseur.
But you know, or like paying $20 to get bloody Uber Eats to deliver you a scoop of Cold Rock. But I get it. 100%.
Oh, well, I mean, I used to work at Cold Rock, so I have had my fair share of that in my lifetime. But I mean, last night when I texted you.
I had a bad breakup back in 2015, and I had my fair share of Cold Rock too.
What's your Cold Rock combo?
The cookie dough one. Whatever that, the cookie, there's like a cookie
cookies
jar.
And, oh, yeah. The ice cream?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like a, I think it's cookies and cream, and then it's got cookie dough, and it's got Tim Tam. Why am I a trainer? What?
Balance.
No, but there's also that thing of, I don't it, like, my head literally doesn't tell me I can't have cold rock. I haven't had cold rock in 6 years.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to,
I don't know if it's around anymore either.
Was it not?
Well, I think a lot of them are shut. I know. The
business owners, Jesus.
I know. I mean, cold rock is not very COVID safe, you know, help yourself jars.
Oh man, it's not COVID safe. And those like little 16-year-old like people serving you are definitely probably hooking up in the back room.
It was one of my first jobs. It was the best job I've ever had.
You're going to be like, it was one of my first time as expert. What do you mean?
It's like my fantasy. Okay, so what is then the worst thing about alcohol? Is it the calories? Is it the decisions that you make while you're drunk? Is it the processing of alcohol by our bodies? Like, what is actually the most demonic thing about alcohol?
For you, it's definitely your inhibitions. But for normal people, I guess admitting I'm not like a biochemist, scientist or anything. So look, I'm sure there's more to this, but from my perspective, it will definitely be the decisions you make with it, rather than the calories itself. And also what it does to your, I guess, your outlook on your, it's all down to our perspective. Okay. Mm. So let's take two versions of us. Okay. Version A, we go out, we have some margaritas with some friends. You know, we trained that morning, well, we exercised our bodies, we ate well, we go and have these margaritas. Calorie wise, you know, we had 2000 calories of margaritas and we had nice food, and then whatever, next day didn't feel that great, but so we didn't exercise, but we just carried on living our life, and Monday we're back to normal. But version B would be going out, having that exact same number of calories, and then being so down on ourselves that we're like, oh, well, I've fucked up. Like, I'm going to get Macca's on the way home or a kebab. And then the next morning you're like, oh, well, I've messed up my whole weekend. I'm going to order McDonald's for breakfast and I'm not going to train. And then when Monday rolls around, your body isn't like feeling good because you've lived on takeaway. Yeah. So you're in a very different position come Monday to the person of version A.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Because I haven't taken enough of my medication today, so my brain's a bit fuzzy. But
you can have some of mine if you want. There's plenty in the kitchen.
But you know what I mean? Like, it, even the calories are exactly, of the actual alcohol, are exactly the same in version A and version B.
Yeah.
But version A person doesn't have the guilt around it. Version B does.
Yeah.
And everything else in their life could be the same. They could have both not had alcohol for 6 months. They could both be on a challenge. They could both be whatever. But just removing the guilt. And again, it's not me saying go and get drunk every night. It's just saying you should not have food or calories, whether that's in food or alcohol, consume your thoughts or your life or create anxiety.
No.
And it's very easy for me to say that. I get it. Like, I totally get it. But yeah, I guess even if I can help one person with that, you know, that makes it all worth it.
Oh, 1,000%. It took you years to get through to me, but I finally got there. Remember when I started eating carbs and my whole life changed?
It blows my mind. But I think you'd probably admit that you like still have you probably still feel sometimes like.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. I'm still, that'll probably be with me forever.
100%. It will always, but you're aware of it.
Yes.
So now when we tell you you're stupid, you know what I mean?
I agree.
It makes more sense. But this is a prime example. And guys, as Phoebe's trainer, she is fitter, stronger. Your physique is like a lot more fitness. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you eat carbs.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that doesn't die, that myth about carbs being bad. But like, it is a very old school mentality. And I guess I forget that it's still very prevalent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our parents are like that. Like, our mum specifically did it to us as their daughters. And then, yeah. So it intrinsically goes through the generations. Yeah. But that and scale weight, it still surprises me a lot. And, you know, that's rich coming from someone in a body weight class sport. But, like, weight doesn't matter. Weight doesn't dictate anything. But it still consumes so much of everyone's, you know, thoughts, I guess.
Oh, massively. That is why I don't do in-body scans anymore, because I don't want to see my weight, because I don't care about my weight. So maybe next time I'm intrigued about my muscle mass, I'll just give it to you and you can just rub out the weight. But definitely that carb thing, I think you're so right. I think that's such an 80s mentality, that whole diet culture that our mums lived with. They just lived on like Diet Coke and cigarettes and stuff. Hopefully that will be gone with like the next generation, particularly with like, I know this sounds so dumb, but kids today learn so much through TikTok, and there's constantly like pasta trends on TikTok, and like everyone seems to be going through this almost like proud to eat now.
Food is such, people with food, it's all psychological, everything's psychological. And that's what I work with a dietitian, right? And like, I definitely love dietitians, they know their stuff, but they have to understand the psychology
Absolutely.
Of food, because it's to help somebody with their food and their nutrition, you have to see why or what's, you know,
roadblocking
what
them.
Is it? Yeah. And it's such a fine line between the 80s mentality of we can't eat carbs and females shouldn't, like, I don't know, eat.
Yeah.
Versus loving everyone eating and us eating disgustingly. You know what I mean? Like, there's
Absolutely.
A fine line. It's a very fine line. And that's why I'll always be a proponent of eat for performance. And that's not as like an athlete term, that's like a feel good term. Because I can literally see people who are really down on themselves, have no confidence at all. They, you know, have put too much pressure on themselves to be like, I need to train 6 times a week, you know, and eat healthy all the time. And they might train 4 times a week and have gone out for dinner and that feel shit about themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like their bodies can be no different, but if they understand that training 3 to 4 times a week is amazing and you can go out, all of a sudden their confidence is through the roof. Nothing about their body composition, scale, weight, anything's changed. It's just removing that, these perceptions, I guess, we or standards we set that don't exist for any reason. Like, yeah.
No, 100%. Two things. I will always remember once you telling me that when you have something like grilled or pizza for dinner, how good your workout is the next day. Because again, you have that like, yeah, that's not like the best thing to eat for dinner every single night, but it's fine to eat and it's going to really fuel your workout. So if you're not in a deficit or you're not, you know, looking to lose scale weight for a fight or a competition and you don't need to be, then eat the damn food and enjoy the effect it's going to have on your workout the next day.
And grilled is the most amazing food ever. And if they're looking to sponsor an athlete, I know one that wants to.
I actually know the brand manager.
Like, get in touch, because I will tattoo grilled on me and I spend a lot of money there. So even if they just want to give me free grilled, it would really help.
She's not joking.
I think that, yeah, I guess this is like with the grilled thing, you know, and that is something I'd bring up in a challenge, say, for instance. So, you know, we're obviously focusing on that challenge mentality. Let's say you've joined a gym and you want to do 8-week challenge. It's like, number one, well, there's a couple of options. It's like, number one, you can fit that in your day without it affecting your deficit at all. You can still be in a deficit. You know what I mean? You just, if you want to learn that side of things, I want to teach people that want to know that, I will teach them.
Is that the flexible dieting?
Yeah. Like, understanding that, say if you've got 1800 calories for your day and your dinner's going to be 900 of those, not every day, but you know, on a day, it's like, you don't have to think you're going to ruin your results. I can literally help you change your day around so that you still end up on 1800 calories with the same macros as if you'd eaten your plan. But for probably 98% of people, don't even stress about it. Just have your meals as normal. Enjoy that extra. You might go up to maintenance if you're on a, you know, challenge, or you might go slightly over. It's like, don't even stress. If that's once in, you know, you do that twice across 8 weeks, the reality is you are probably going to train harder. You're going to have a mental break, you know, from being in a diet, I guess. And you don't need to stress about knowing it, you know, if you're eating well and performing well, you don't need to know how to do all that other stuff.
Oh, God, no. And can I just say that, and I'm speaking on behalf of you as well when I say this, one of, if not the best, I mean, your child's birth might have been the best day of your life, but drag brunch. And we drank so many margaritas. We were eating fries at like 11 a.m. That was the best day of our lives. And might I just say, I still went to the gym the next day and slayed my workout.
Anybody in Brisbane, I swear to God, those drag brunches at Cloudland, what's the main, is it BB Gun?
BB Gun.
Oh my God. The best, one of, like probably the, 100%, like trumps the birth of my daughter by far. I'm not even the one who had to give birth to her, and I found it quite boring, to be honest. Like, cool that she was here, but the actual birth was boring. But that was amazing. Mm. Yeah. 100%. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I just finished a fight or I was in fight camp, but it's like,
yeah, I think you just finished one. It. Oh, 100%.
There's certain parts of fight camp, obviously, I have to not do that. But, well, to be honest, I've still gone to everything. Sometimes I just don't drink, and sometimes I do drink and don't tell my dietitian.
Which is fine.
No, I'm just kidding. That's probably not a good
Okay, so then lastly to finish off, I think this is an important thing to touch on. Why is it so bad to permanently be in a deficit? You know how a lot of people are constantly like eating to, you know, X amount of calories, but we need to normalize eating to maintenance.
People need to normalize not letting food control their lives and their thoughts. I'll try explain this as well as I can, as succinctly as I can. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, but let's take a person. Let's take you, for instance. So let's say you're, you know, have a activist job, moderately active, okay? You're, you know, would hit your 10,000 steps at work easy, but you do work at a desk. Sometimes you eat well, you exercise, so on and so forth, have good muscle mass. Let's just say, to make it easy, 2,000 calories, that's your maintenance. If you ate 2,000 calories, factoring in your lifestyle and your genetics, rah, 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 you won't put on weight, you won't lose weight. You just stay the same.
Yeah.
That's 2,000 calories a day. If you are like, I want to lose some weight, and this is the way people used to do it, is I'm going to go 1,200 calories. Okay. So then they go to 1,200 calories, and so every single day we're going to be 800 calories under that maintenance, what it takes to maintain us. So initially you're going to lose, like, well, you'll lose water weight, number one, because you have got less food, but you'll lose stomach, you know, volume in your stomach. So you are going to drop scale weight and you will drop a bit of fat. You'll probably lose a bit of muscle too because you're in such a big deficit. But very quickly, you're going to start feeling like shit. Very quickly.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that your body's maintenance is no longer 2,000. So that 800 calorie deficit, because you're moving less, you might fidget less, you're not training as hard, even if you think you are, you now all of a sudden your maintenance for your body to not put on or lose is 1,700. And so you're only in, you know, X amount, like a 500 deficit, and that keeps happening. So back in the day, they called it starvation mode. And, you know, I hate to break it to people, but it doesn't exist. But metabolic damage does. And it's a metabolic slowdown. So your maintenance is how many calories it takes for your body just to maintain. Metabolic slowdown takes away calories from that. And you want that as high as you can.
Yeah.
The longer you're in a deficit, and especially a big deficit, the more of an effect that'll have. So you'll hear people be like, I'm on 1,200 calories and I'm not losing weight. Number one, they're either not on 1,200 calories or they've adapted their metabolic rate to be so low that, yeah, and you can't go lower than that. It's not, you can't, and you can't train more. So the way you want to do it is, say if your maintenance 2,000, you want to go to 1,800, say. You know, like slightly less, you want to train as you were. And then when it plateaus, you go, okay, I either increase my activity a little or I decrease my food a little bit and it will start rolling again.
Yeah.
If you do it that way, you'll continue to fidget as much as you do. You'll have that sustained energy, you feel all good. And when you go 6 months down the track, those two versions are going to be very different results.
Yeah.
And for people that, I guess, your original question of being in a deficit forever, is there's no payoff for it. Like, you won't be seeing results with your body at all because your metabolic, the metabolic adaptation, like, you won't be losing fat like you would if you were doing deficit for X amount of time and then going back to maintenance or even a surplus to see results. Like, nobody is designed to be in a deficit all the time. And honestly, you just will end up not in a deficit. That'll be your new maintenance.
Yeah. And that's horrifying. Atrocious.
Yeah. I think it's that I like to think about it like your calories is your money, right? And you want as much bang for your buck as you can.
100%.
Yeah.
That's so, a really good way to think about it.
Yeah, definitely. So you're like, if, and you want to get your maintenance as high as you can. So you want to get that metabolic rate up. It's like, if your maintenance is 2000, if you start slowly bringing that up, and I did this with my partner in the last challenge.
I was literally going to say, yeah. She looks phenomenal. And guys, she has a Magnum every day.
Which I also don't suggest, especially when your partner is like, trying to become a world champion and you're sitting there eating Magnums every night when they're in fight week. But yeah, so our goal with her was to add extra calories. So her maintenance, let's say, is 2000. We wanted to increase that as high as we could. And we ended up getting her to, you know, 2400 calories. And she's like, I'm not like gaining weight. Like, you might feel like it's hard with females, especially to get them to be able to do that, because they're like, oh, but I feel bloated. It's like, it's because there's food in your stomach.
Yeah.
But the thing is, then once you, if we got, you know, we got her to 2400, which is amazing. That's a hell of a lot of food.
Yeah.
Then, and she has so much energy and everything. And then we get to go, okay, you want to lose a little bit. Well, now you can lose on 2000 calories, which before was your maintenance.
So that is the dream. And I remember at the last challenge awards thing, hearing her speak, or maybe at the beginning of the last challenge, hearing her speak to someone else who was trying to go through that same process. And she was saying how anxious she was feeling around it. And Carol just kept saying, trust the process.
Yep. 100%. And that's what I always say to my challenge group as well. I'm like, they always come in and say if they've done challenges with other people, I'm like, I need you to trust me here, because most of the time I'm telling them to eat more and I'm telling them to train less, because people come in with a mentality of like, oh, I want to really go hard and I want to like, I want to win this. So I want to do doubles every day and I want to cut back on my food and I'm not going to snack. I'm just going to eat this. And it's like, you will not win. I'm telling you that now. I'm telling you because you will not make it 8 weeks, let alone at the end of the year, feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Trust me, because we like the first, let's say in an 8 week challenge, I always think with my challenges, I'm like, the first 2 weeks should feel easy. You should be questioning me. You should be like, it feels too easy. This feels good. 2 weeks, your motivation's up, calories on it. It's like, yeah, if you're in it to win it, you're not going to feel that way with me in 8 weeks, you know, because I will have to increase it. But that's the goal, to make it feel easy.
Mm.
It should not feel hard from day one, because then you are, you know, yeah, you're probably on Instagram scrolling through like food videos. That is the number one thing. If you're starting a health and fitness routine and you have a goal in mind and that first week you are scrolling through food things, please go change how you're approaching it, because that is a red flag for me straight away, going, they're too focused on the food. It yeah. should not feel that way.
No. Again, it's like a marathon. If you're going to go and run 42 kilometers and in the first 10 kilometers you're feeling fucked, you're not going to finish that marathon.
Well, it's probably a good example of training for a marathon, right? Like, okay, so it's 42 kilometers to run a marathon. It's like people don't go out there in the first week and run 42K.
Yeah.
They run 5K or whatever, and then they build themselves up so that when you hit that 42K, or, you know, you feel good for it. You feel like it's not easy by any means, but it's like your body's prepped for it. You feel good for it. Amazing. Whereas the person that goes out and tries to run 42K that first week, or even 20K, even half of it, they will not make it through the first week. Or they might just make it through week two. They're not gonna make it to the start line of that marathon.
No.
That's, you know, and it is hard to get people to focus on that long term, to be like, at the end of the year, you're gonna be glad you did this. But I guess the way I try and approach that is just to get them to forget. And that's the only way you're going to get results, is to have a goal in mind, to want to achieve it. But you should just be ticking each day off, every day off, doing the things you know you should do to get that end result. and not yet, like, remove that need or desire for, like, crash rapid fixes.
Yeah. Well, doll, cheers to 2,000 calories. I'm going to go have myself some pizza for lunch. And we always finish every single episode the exact same way, and that is to ask you, what is one piece of advice you would give to everybody listening to this podcast right now?
To message Grilled and say you should sponsor Nicola because she's a boss.
It's on my to-do list, doll. It's on my to-do list.
No, honestly, it's just, I don't know if this isn't funny advice or anything. This is legit. If you are sitting there right now and any of those red flag or you feel that anxiety around food, please, like, know that it's okay and it's normal to feel that, but there's another way. And,
yeah.
And you can go do the other way, the better way, the Nicola way.
I recommend it. Nicola way or the highway.